Welcome to the North Valley's own Jerry O'Lennon.
Ask yourself, what kind of example are you setting for others?
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
On KKXX Life Radio, this is Live Local Talk.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. I'm Jerry O'Lennon, your host for the next 30 minutes. It's 8:34 in the morning on Thursday, June 23rd. We hope you enjoy your day. This week, we have been talking and will continue to talk about heaven. What is heaven like? Everybody has sort of a different opinion on it, and we're getting different views from different ministers here in Chico. And I'm speaking today with the Reverend Donald Jordan. He is the pastor at Redeemer Evangelical Lutheran Church. They're over on Hawthorne Avenue. Their services are at Sunday at 10 o'clock in the morning. Pastor Jordan joins us now. And one of the things I've been talking about this week and leading up to my conversation with you is, and maybe you could answer this question. When we say the Lord's Prayer, we say, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." The way I interpret that is that we ask God to create heaven on earth for us, but with that comes a certain responsibility for us to try to create heaven on earth. Am I completely wrong on that? What does that prayer, that part of the Lord's Prayer, mean when you preach?
Well, when we talk about the matter of heaven, Jerry, in the Lord's Prayer, where we pray, you know, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," it says in our little catechism that God does his will without our prayer. God's going to do what God wants to do. Mm-hmm. He's sovereign. He's almighty. Nobody's going to stop God from acting. So he's going to do this, but we pray in this petition that it may be done among us also. We're praying that God would do his will just like it's perfectly done in heaven where God is, because that is perfection here on this earth. And that is explained in this manner: when he breaks and hinders every evil plan and purpose of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature. We're fighting an enemy, the devil, the world, and our sinful nature, and we need to overcome that by the power of God. So where God is, there is heaven, the presence of God, the locale of God. And that's why even Jesus said, you know, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." In the Gospel of Matthew, he continuously referred to the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom is where the king resides, where he is present. Now, Jesus was here on this earth. Of course, he ascended into heaven, as we say in the Creed, and there he resides. But he brings heaven above to us here on this earth by doing his will.
Okay, so do we have responsibilities to try to create a heaven on earth?
No, we cannot create the heaven on earth. This is something that God has to do. And the heaven on earth is what we might call the church, the Holy Christian Church,
okay,
where Christ resides, where he is the king, where he is the true pastor, and that is entirely his work. It's not something we can do. But our prayer is that God would do this among us.
Do we know what heaven's going to be like? Does everybody have their own version of what heaven is, or do we have a good idea of what it's going to be? I mean, Jesus talks more about hell than he does about heaven in the Gospels. It seems like we have a better description of what hell's going to be like than what heaven's going to be like.
Well, of all the people in the Bible, the person that talked more about hell was Jesus. Mm-hmm. That's true in that sense, because he was warning people. He does not want anyone to be lost. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. So he's continuously warning us. And even in Matthew, it says that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. It wasn't prepared for us. But those who reject Christ will be banished and judged. But Jesus did give us some glimpses into heaven in mm-hmm. the Gospels. We have the Transfiguration, where Moses and Elijah are talking to Peter, James, and John. The heavens were opened at the baptism of Jesus. When he died, he committed his spirit into the hands of the Father. And one of the most comforting passages is in John 14, where Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." So he didn't give us a lot of details mm-hmm. on the specifics of heaven. That's true. But he did tell us who the most important person would be in heaven. Right. That would be himself, of course, with the Father and the Holy Spirit. And of course, it is a place of bliss, of unending joy.
Is it something that's tangible and finite? In other words, are we walking, or are we just kind of floating in existence? I think that's sometimes how we perceive it. Or are there actual trees that we touch and fruit that we eat and lakes of water, clear water that we swim in and feel? Are there things to do in heaven? It says each of us has our own room. I like that verse because it leads me to believe that there will be times when we'll be able to go to our own rooms and have a place to stay. I mean, that's the only thing that how I picture it. What else do we know about it?
Well, Scripture tells us it is the new heavens and the new earth, and it is paradise restored. It is the Garden of Eden all over again. One of the big problems in the church is that we have spiritualized heaven and eternal life. Mm-hmm. We have adopted the old ancient heresy called Gnosticism. That's a two-bit word. But the early Gnostics, they denied anything physical. They denied anything like that. Even the flesh of Jesus, they denied. And therefore, they denied sin also. But think about the incarnation of Jesus. He took on a body. We will have bodies in heaven. We believe in the resurrection. We believe that's new heavens, new earth, dwelling places, rooms, rivers, tree of life, etc., that is described in the book of Revelation. So you are correct in that sense.
It happens every once in a while. I have my moments.
That's right.
We're going to take a very short time out, and we're going to continue discussing what heaven is like. What do we do in heaven? Is it just praying all the time? Are you able to follow sporting events? Do you work out? Do you exercise? What do you do for fun and recreation? Is there fun and recreation in heaven? Give us a call, 894-7325. We'll be back. If you're ever in need of a dentist, let me tell you who my family and I go to. Dr. Eric Eltzroth knows his stuff. His dental hygienists give thorough cleanings. I love this. It's not just 45 minutes, but a full hour. And I love how they know my insurance benefits better than I do, so I maximize my health benefits. When you need dental work or just your six-month cleaning, you can trust Dr. Eric Eltzroth at 895-1999. Dr. Eltzroth's office is at the corner of Eaton and the Esplanade. Dr. Eric Eltzroth, 895-1999. He'll give you something to smile about. Jerry O'Lennon here for ABC Books. If you're looking to save money and get quality new and used books, try ABC Books in Chico. They're at the corner of East and Cohasset near Walgreens. Stop in and say hi to their friendly staff. They can show you how you can save 50 to 90% off new and used books. You never know what hidden gems you may find. Call ABC Books today at 893-4342. That's 893-4342. ABC Books, where saving money is as easy as ABC.
This is Live Local Talk.
When I'm not here on working on this show, I'm over at the Abbey of New Clairvaux. I'm the Sacred Stones project manager. Fascinating project over at the Cistercian Monastery in Vina, 580 acres, an oasis, really. And every time I go through those gates, I always say I feel like I've entered heaven for a short period of time, and then I leave, and it has that type of feeling to it. And I always wonder to myself, maybe this is what heaven will be like. I mean, the people there are very nice and friendly. You meet the monks, the brothers, the fathers there, and they're just very friendly and very loving, and they treat everybody as though they're talking to Christ themselves. And it does feel like you've gone into a different world, and it always makes me wonder what heaven really will be like. And I'm with the Reverend Donald Jordan. He is the pastor at Redeemer Evangelical Lutheran Church, and all week we have been talking about what heaven is like. Can we compare it to anything here on earth?
Comparing heaven to anything here on earth would probably be a bad comparison in some sense, because everything is tainted with sin and imperfection here on this earth. Even the best things are not perfect. So I think the best thing for us to do is to go to Scripture, to go to the Word of God in those descriptors that are there in the Old Testament, the New Testament.
Revelation has a lot of details.
Revelation has a lot of details about the new heavens, the new earth, that it comes from God. He creates all things new. I would say the only comparison we could have would be the Garden of Eden, But that's been lost and,
right.
and decimated by sin. So there's really not anything good. If we want to make any comparison, it would be to perhaps what we had discussed yesterday on the divine service,
right.
where God comes to us in the service and feeds us and encourages us and forgives our sins. And I've always told people, really, the divine service that we attend, the Mass, the Holy Communion, is really a slice of heaven. And that's the best thing to compare it to, I would say.
Do we know, have any idea what we're going to be like, what our bodies are going to be like? Or, any suggestion? I mean, are we going to be young, old? Are we going to be...
Well, first of all, Jerry, in 1 John chapter 3, it says that when he appears, we shall be like him, meaning Jesus.
Okay.
So the point of comparison is not to try to compare ourselves to one another or anything here on this earth, but to compare ourselves to Christ. And then it says, because we shall see him as he is. Now, the real question is, what does Jesus look like?
Right.
Rather than what are you and I going to look like?
And
I think we're going to be shocked when we see him face to face.
Why is that? Tell me why.
Because we have artist depictions of Jesus, but we have no idea what he looked like. Most artist depictions are of a very feminine kind of guy with long flowing
right.
hair and very, very smooth skin. He's pictured as the strong, mighty one in Scripture, in the book of Revelation, and so on. And I think the other thing is we forget that we will see his wounds in his hands, in his feet, and in his side that he showed to Thomas.
Well, you know, there's that the Shroud of Turin. You probably,
yes.
I don't know how legitimate or how honest that is, but it, a terribly interesting show was on the History Channel where they take the Shroud of Turin and they're able to go and use a computerize what he would actually look like. And you're exactly right. It's a much more... masculine figure than the one that's depicted, certainly when we were kids, when we were younger. I think that's one of the great services that Mel Gibson did in his film, whether people agreed with the depiction that he gave or not. He presented a very masculine Jesus. And I think that was a real... I think that was really a step forward in how we view Christ.
Jesus was a real man. He
right.
was not a sissy. He was a strong man. He was a beautiful man, a handsome man. But yet a humble man as the Son of God, but now he's arrayed in power and majesty. And when we talk about heaven, sometimes we joke and we trivialize it when we say, well, he's up there on the first hole of the fairway at the golf course, you know, swinging away, or she's up there sipping tea or crocheting or something kind of silly and goofy. And we've heard this, but I think we forget it's not about what we do, but in whose presence we come into when we enter heaven in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, that we come into the very presence of Jesus and actually see him in his body, just as we will be in our bodies in the resurrection that is taught in 1 Corinthians 15. So yes, we'll have our bodies, and yes, we will recognize one another.
We will recognize
yes,
each other.
Yes, absolutely. In Matthew 17, Peter and James and John conversed with Moses and Elijah, and all of those people are distinct persons. Yes, they retain their identity with their body.
But marriage, you're no longer married to your wife
marriage
or your
kids. Marriage is not needed in heaven, as Jesus taught. We'll be like the angels, because there's no need for reproduction, which is one of the chief things of marriage in this life.
When do we go up there? This is something that always, I guess, worries me a little bit. Is there a waiting time where you go, okay, or is it the instant you cease life on this earth, you will know your fate? Jesus, it took 3 days for him to get resurrected and go to heaven. What happens for us?
Okay, basically, we would describe it as the three modes of eternal life. And the good news is, Jerry, you have eternal life. You have heaven right now as a Christian, and so do mm-hmm. I, and all believers. Because that's number one, what the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life as a present possession. You have eternal life now, but not yet. You see, we have to wait.
Okay.
But you have it now. You have the kingdom of heaven as a believer because God is your king. You live in his church. Now, when you die, your soul goes to the Lord. It departs. You commit your spirit into God's hands, just like Jesus did. And the soul goes to the Lord. He receives that in full joy and confidence. And that soul goes immediately to heaven, full bliss. The body rests in the grave. It's buried, whatever we do with the body, okay? But that is a rest, and that's why Jesus always looked at people who had died and said, they are sleeping, they've fallen asleep, because the body is resting, but the soul continues praising God and living with God. Then when Jesus comes again is the third mode of eternal life. When he comes, he will raise our bodies in the resurrection, and that will be the end, and we'll be reunited, we will live in body and soul. So have no fear, you're not going to be a soul sitting on a cloud up there, you're going to have your real body perfectly restored.
Very good. We got one more segment talking with Pastor Donald Jordan from Redeemer Evangelical Lutheran Church. His services are at 10 o'clock on Sundays, although he is going to be on vacation for the next two Sundays. 342-6085. If you want to, if you're looking for a church home, it's a good one. We're going to finish up our discussion today with the good pastor about what heaven is like in our final segment after this break.
Fairchild Automotive, specializing in Hondas, and now pleased to announce specializing in European vehicles. Don't just trust anyone. When it's time for your next service or maintenance, remember Fairchild Automotive. They're the number one smog and repair facility in Chico with over 30 years of experience. They are ASE certified and AAA approved. Fairchild Automotive is located between Fair and Park Avenue, right off East 20th Street on Pavis Court. You can trust Fairchild Automotive, where they're affordable, friendly, and reliable.
Welcome to the North Valley's own Jerry O'Lennon.
Ask yourself, what kind of example are you setting for others?
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
On KKXX Life Radio, this is Live Local Talk.
What is heaven like? That's been our focus this week, and we're continuing our discussion today, our final segment, with the Reverend Donald Jordan. He is the pastor at Redeemer Evangelical Lutheran Church. A very interesting discussion. And one of the things I remember, and I wish I was a biblical expert, Pastor, because I don't know this, and I know you'll be able to tell me immediately. There's some sort of scene, I guess, where somebody in heaven who made it to heaven is looking down on somebody who didn't help him when he was young, when he was on earth, and said, you know, get me some water. I mean, I can't stand this fire. Go tell my friends about not to follow you, to come here. Remind me of that story, because it's interesting to me, because we will know who reached heaven and who unfortunately is stuck in the depths of hell.
You're referring to the rich man and Lazarus.
Exactly.
The rich man had all these wonderful things in this life, but he didn't have Christ. He was lost, and he burned in hell forever. So Lazarus had nothing in this life. He goes to the bosom of Abraham. And then the man in hell was crying out, but to no avail. And he said, hey, you know, go back and warn my brothers, you know, and so on. Let them know, you know, cool my tongue. And, you know, basically the Lord says, listen, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. If you have the word of God, you don't need anything more. You don't need an experience of heaven and hell. You don't need any proof of that. And that's the other thing, that when we think about heaven and hell and the afterlife, so often we want to rely on experiences or visions or dreams. But we probably ought not do that, but rather stay with the sure word of God and listen to Scripture, because it tells us the truth.
Do you believe in near-death experiences, that people have come close to death and then have experienced heaven ever so briefly and then come back to tell about it? Do you believe that those things are real? I mean, you're going to tell me there's no way of knowing, but in your mind, do you think that's possible?
I believe the Holy Spirit can give us dreams and visions and insights and things of this nature, that God could certainly reveal that to somebody if he wishes. We have to test everything with Scripture to make sure it doesn't go against the Word of God. If we were given that by God, and I know some people who've had those experiences where they saw the light of heaven, they had a vision of Christ and so on, but they don't preach that or teach that as doctrine, as, you know, the Word of God, but simply express it as an experience in life, part of that joy, part of that fervor that they have. But always go back to the Scripture and test it with what the Word of God says, because there you have certainty.
See, about a year ago, I don't think it was a dream, because it was unlike anything I've ever experienced. I remember talking to people about it. I had my mother, who's passed away. I felt her hugging me. And it was one of those dreams, whatever you want to call it, where I wanted to scream in joy. I was like, and I woke up like that. And it was I'm convinced it had to be something more than just a dream, because it was a feeling unlike anything I'd ever experienced in my life. I mean, my marriage to my wife, the love I felt for my kids. It was a feeling unlike, I couldn't possibly recreate that emotion, that feeling. And so I'm somebody who tends to believe that perhaps God wants to, you know, maybe I'm use angels to come and tell people, you're okay. that some sort of sign that lets you know you're on the right track. At least that's what I'm hoping. Maybe that's just a wish.
Yeah, there are the things we experience in life. Dreams are real. Nobody's going to deny it, that a dream right. isn't real, that we really dreamed these things. Sometimes they're good dreams, sometimes they're bad dreams. And that's why we always pray that God would give us holy dreams, mm-hmm. good dreams, comforting dreams. And I believe that God can give us those things. And again, to just make sure we're certain with those, to be comforted by the fact that your mother's in heaven, our loved ones, whoever they are, by going back to the certainty of God's word. So the good Lutheran pastor would not discount such things, but he would always say, always end up back on the scripture so you know that you have the foundation on these things.
I think we worry whether or not we're going to make it to heaven or not, because I think we all acknowledge that none of us really deserve going to heaven.
Right.
I mean, even Mother Teresa didn't really deserve to go to heaven. None of us do. But I think maybe sometimes we use that as an excuse. Well, none of us deserve. We're all sinners. So if I sin, it's no big deal. And, you know, he's going to forgive me anyway, and I'll make it to heaven.
Our heaven certainty is based on Christ, his life, his death, his resurrection, and all his promises to us. If we look to ourselves, we'll probably go two ways. Number one, we'll be like a Pharisee and say, well, I deserve heaven because I've been such a good person. I've been so righteous, so moral. And there are people who believe that, that they're better than other people, and they deserve a place in heaven. I've heard people make this comment that so-and-so was a true saint, and if anybody deserved heaven, that
right.
nice lady deserved it. And I say, no, nobody deserves heaven, only Jesus. Or the other way is to totally despair and say, I'm such a rotten sinner, I've done so many bad things, that I'm just going to rot in hell. That
right.
type of thing.
The problem is you don't rot in hell. You live in hell.
That's right.
If you rotted in hell,
you suffer in hell. Okay?
Yeah, yeah.
But the point is that Jesus says that your name can be written in the book of life, the Lamb's book of life. You can have certainty when you go back to his promises, what Jesus has promised to you. Some people think it's arrogant or even absurd to say, I have a certainty that I will be in heaven. Well, how can you know that?
Mm-hmm.
How can you be absolutely certain?
Is it arrogant to believe that? Is it wrong to say, I'm certain I'm going to be in heaven?
No, it is not arrogant. It is a certainty based upon the promises of Jesus, because he made these promises to us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that if we're born of the water and spirit, we'll enter the kingdom of heaven. That's his promise.
Isn't it like a football team that says, oh, I know we're going to go out and win this game, and then they get so confident that it doesn't happen. You can't be too confident about going to heaven.
Our hope is not a wish, is it?
Right.
They wish they would win that game, but
right.
they really have no certainty that they'll win it.
Right.
But as Christians, we have a hope that is based on certainty. It's an expectation, because Jesus has gone before us and prepared that place and will come back to us. We hear his voice. You can know you will live in heaven.
There's another scripture where Jesus talks about, and I know we're going to run out of time any second, but he said, I praised your just because you call out my name and say my name, I hardly knew you. It's part of the Sermon on the Mount.
That's right.
That's one of the scariest pieces of scripture that there is to me.
That's a warning that Jesus gave, that not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. And you can do a lot of religious things. You can do all these good works, but if you don't know Christ, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven because you're trusting in yourself. They said, Lord, we did this, we did that. See, it was all what we did. Those who trust in Jesus fall on their knees and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And there is justification. There is salvation. There is the certainty of heaven.
That's some good old-fashioned preaching right there.
That's right, but
it's true. You're good. Talking to the Reverend Donald Jordan, he's the pastor at Redeemer Evangelical Lutheran Church. Go to his church, although for the next two Sundays, next Sunday, he was not here last Sunday, and he's not going to be here this Sunday. But try his service. It's at 10 o'clock in the morning. It's over on Hawthorne Avenue. To get exact directions, 342-6085. And we're going to be talking about hell next week, and hopefully we'll be talking. You'll join us on that conversation as well. That's the really scary part. When you start reading some of the descriptions about what hell will be like, and you wonder. There's so many questions that come with that one.
But God does not want us to perish, but come to eternal life in Christ.
Right. And there's room for everybody in heaven, right?
That's right.
All right. Well, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
All right, that wraps up our show. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll finish up our discussion on what heaven is like tomorrow. We hope you'll join us, and have a good day.